Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It's Wednesday. Hope you're all having a great day wherever you are. Very little Packers news, but that doesn't mean we won't be talking green and gold each and every day here on Packers Daily. Devoted, that's what we are, folks, to Packers fans worldwide. I did want to talk about TJ Slayton today, just because I find it fascinating that given the switch of the defensive scheme and what these guys up front are going to be asked to do, Slayton is a bit of an enigma because he's obviously a bigger guy, but he has certainly shown an ability to create quick disruption, something that clearly they're going to be asking those guys up front to kind of produce some havoc, some shooting of the gaps, some getting off that line of scrimmage at the snap of the ball and getting upfield, getting in the quarterback's lap. And it's funny because you look at Slayton and the man has never had a sack or didn't have a sack all last year. I think he in total had 13 pressures on the season, only had one quarterback hit. But I do think asking him to do something a little bit different could unlock some potential that we've certainly seen. There's no doubt when you look game by game, there's always a play or two where he is taking advantage of a guard, getting into the backfield, but then you go to another play and he's absorbing a double team or two gapping and trying to kind of read and react rather than getting upfield at the snap of the football each and every down in and down out. I am very excited at Slayton's ability and promise when it comes to what Jeff Hafley is reportedly going to be asking these guys to do. Now, we never really know what it's going to look like, how much he's going to see the field. I was actually a little surprised looking at last year's numbers and how many snaps per game he was playing. There was a stretch there right towards the end of the regular season where he was playing like around 30 snaps a game, which to me feels like a lot for Slayton. But we will undoubtedly get our first, chance to see how he looks in this new scheme in a couple weeks when training camp kicks off. I will be there July 25th, I believe, for the last couple days without pads, and then the pads come on that following, I believe, on Sunday or the following Tuesday. I'll be there for that. And I hope to see you guys there. There will be a Cheesehead TV meetup at some point while I'm in town. I hope everyone can make it out if you're in the Green Bay area. No word yet on when or where, but watch this space. We will be having a get-together. I've been asked several times in several different ways about potentially having a meetup during training camp. And just want to let everyone know, yes, we absolutely 1,000% will. So be on the lookout for that information and also be on the lookout for our friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida Street. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, in our app, or indeed in the description of this video. Folks, don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, or SeatGeek. Get the same seats for less and shop locally. When you want Packers tickets, utilize Ticket King. That's what you want to do, folks. Hello, everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody mixing it up. Dennis is here, of course. Brandy, hello. How are you? Jim, good to see you at the happy hour last night, buddy. Hope you're doing well. What else we got here? Aaron Harper. What's up, Aaron? Good to see you. Eddie's here. What's up, Eddie? Can't go wrong with one big SOB in the middle. Well, and that's the thing. With Slayton, obviously, he is a bit of a load. There's no doubt about it. But he's certainly shown that he's got the quickness and the explosiveness off the line to, cause some issues for an offensive line and going to wreak havoc with what they're trying to do up front in protection. So there's, probably going to be a number of kind of calls where Slayton is asked to kind of eat up space, traditionally and play, a rundown a certain way, what have you. But I'm excited to see if he is just given the green light to get upfield, get after that quarterback. That's what the old adage is, stop the run on your way to the quarterback, and I think that's what they're going to be asking these guys to do. And I hope Slayton gets a chance to really kind of let it loose. HD, what's up, man? How about them Brewers? Come on, Brew Crew. Hell yes, Brewers. Absolutely love to see it. Gina, how are you? Never been to a Packer game yet. Where's the best place to sit in the stadium for a rookie? That's a good question. Oh, I'm sorry, Gino. Sorry, Gino. It's a good question. It really, and I have talked about this before, it really depends on what you want to get out of the experience. You know, if you're a diehard football person, if you really want to watch kind of the line play and the rotation of the safeties and things that are really kind of part of the game of football, you know, if you can make it happen, probably about 40 rows up in the middle is probably your best seat, you know, to really get a look at the entirety of what's going on. If you really want kind of vibes and party atmosphere and have a great time, you can really find that anywhere in Lambeau, but you can definitely find it in the end zone sections. A lot of good vibes there. Depending on green or gold package, although most of the time it's all a good time. Where you might run into some, if you were so inclined to try and get something like down by the 15, 20 row range behind the Packers bench, that's where some of the legacy folks have long time season tickets. And it does tend to maybe, you know, start to skew towards the crowd that will tell you to sit down. So if you want to stand up and cheer and have a good time and not have to worry about any of that nonsense, I suggest getting just a little bit further up. But really, it's an old cliche, but it is 100% true. There are no bad seats in Lambeau Field. I have yet to find one. And I have sat everywhere in that building, both old and new. And it is just an amazing experience, regardless of where you sit. But yes, enjoy, have a great time, and I hope you get out to a game this year. And I hope you use Ticket King to get the tickets. Absolutely. Sideline Report. It's kind of funny that your name is Sideline Report, and you're saying sideline is too low. I don't know. Like, again, like if you really want to get into the nitty gritty of the game, the physical aspect of the game, I love it down there. You like get that front row or second row and really kind of hear the hitting and see the violence of the game. It's pretty dope. You really can't beat it. What have we got here? Atomic Hound. Wherever there's beer, which is everywhere. That's a fair point. Hawkins says, end zone was sweet for my first game. Yeah, I haven't sat in the end zone, or I had not sat in the end zone for a long time until when I went with Zabe and Josh a couple years ago to that Bears Sunday night game. We sat about, I want to say like 50 rows up in the, I think we were in the north end zone, and it was a ball, man. We had a blast. It was a really good time, and the vibes were just perfect. Whiskey61 says, sit behind the visitor bench and verbally harass them all game. That's certainly one way to go about it. And, you know, you're doing the Lord's work when you do that. Tyler Daniel says, last two rows anywhere between the 20s. Can see everything on the field and nobody behind you to tell you to sit down. Now, that is a something to consider when going to Lambeau Field. I will say, the problem with Lambeau, the one problem, is probably per capita has more people yelling sit down than any other stadium in the NFL. That is the one issue. Did I attend any games in the 96 or 97 seasons? No, Brett, I did not. Unfortunately, I was down in North Carolina. That's where I formed my friendship and longtime bond with Corey Behnke. But no, I watched all those games either. If they were on national television, I watched them in my apartment and or at friends' places, or I would go to a, what do you call those things? A sports bar across town. There was one in particular that I really liked that had big, humongous televisions and tons of them and really comfortable seating. It was a really good time. It was connected to a hotel, and I would just go there and just kind of spend my whole day watching football as much as I could until like rehearsals started. But yeah, it was a good time. I wish I'd been able to make it to a game at some point in either of those seasons. I mean, Lambeau was a magical place. I did see a couple games, like when Holmgren and the crew were coming up, right? Those first couple years when you kind of thought, okay, we got something here with Favre and Reggie comes along. I think I saw the Packers take on the Bengals at Lambeau, I want to say. But I think with Reggie's first or second year, and Reggie was amazing. That whole thing was awesome. Ed, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Looked like the ref in the Czech Turkey game wants to work in the NFL. Lots of yellow cards, lots of TV time. He was terrible. The dudes on the commentary were hilarious. Like, they were beside themselves with how bad he was. And I think they were right. I mean, from the outside looking in, it sure looked like he had money on Turkey. That's all I know. Let's see. Rick says, my family's ticket, you need a raincoat because the fat ladies behind us spill a lot of beer. Well, I mean, that's another way to treat a beverage, dude. You gotta let them know. What's up, M? Hey, Nags. I fear that the kicker situation is the only thing that could derail our season. Thoughts? Let's let them play it. Let's let them play it out. Let's see what happens in camp and see how they kick. Like this kid from Michigan, you know, I think Anders Carlson is going to continue to improve. Don't have much faith in Greg Joseph, but I don't think he's going to be their kicker. Got a long way to go. And look, as many people have pointed out, you look purely by the numbers. Carlson's rookie year, while frustrating at times with the extra points and those misses, you know, field goal percentage wise, not terrible comparative to lots of really good kickers and their rookie seasons. They're going to let him figure it out. I think we're going to watch him improve throughout the summer, the preseason, etc. We'll see what happens once they get into the regular season. I do think he's going to be their kicker, and I do think he's going to improve. But I also think that if he does continue to struggle, especially with those missed extra points and things of that nature, it will not surprise me if Brian pulls the trigger sooner rather than later in season. But I do think they're going to continue to let him develop. Robin says, I watched Portugal, Georgia, terrible game. I watched a bit of that one. It was rough, but I mean, watching Ronaldo get denied repeatedly is always good for the soul. Elmer says, I just want to see tighter coverage on third down. You and me both, Elmer. Yeah, that's the dream, right? And I do think you will see some of that. There are always going to be calls where you want guys playing off for all sorts of different reasons, but yes, I would like on third and three not to have a 12-yard cushion. That's just me. I'm a simple man, but I would appreciate a few more of those calls where we are challenging wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. Not always, not every single time, but more often than not, a few more times than never. That'd be good. I'd be down with that. Matthew, how are you? Hope things are good across the pond, buddy. Dobbs, Watson, Reed, Wicks, Melton, Torrey, Heath, add in Musgrave and Kraft at tight end, Jacobs, Dillon, Lloyd, and Wilson at running back. This is going to be special. I have to agree. I very much have to agree. Although I will say I'm fascinated to watch kind of that bottom of the wide receiving group kind of battle it out with Melton, Torrey, and Heath. I mean, I think this is Samari Torrey's last gasp, so to speak, but, you know, I wouldn't discount him. Jordan Love has shown repeatedly that he is not afraid to throw it up to Samari Torrey and let him go make a play. Now, he's made precious few of them, but if you've got the quarterback's trust, you have the opportunities to go make plays, and that's what camp can do. You make the most of those opportunities, make some hay, and maybe get yourself lodged into the rotation. Crazier stuff has happened. Funkus says, what is the standard for Jair in this next season? It's a pretty open-ended question. You know, he's got to be much more consistent than he was last year, even before all the drama and narratives and injuries and what have you. He's just got to be a lot more consistent. And I suspect he will look much more like the all-pro corner we've all kind of known him to be. I know last year was frustrating for him in a lot of different ways, but it sure feels like the page has been turned, the buy-in is real. And we're going to see the guy that the Packers paid to be one of their best players. That's my guess, and that's all it is a guess, because the only one who can really control that is Jair. But I do not doubt for a moment that he is still capable of being that type of player. And I'm not going to say a shutdown corner, because I don't believe those exist, but to be a top corner in the NFL. That's what they're paying him to be. I think that's the standard week in and week out. We can't have these, okay, he has a great game in week two, and then week three, he, you know, misses a few assignments and misses some tackles, takes a bad angle, blah, blah, blah. No, it's got to be week in and week out. Top flight corner play. That's the standard. Matthew, thanks again, man. Torrey at the bottom of the pecking order, Nags? I would suspect. I mean, he was a healthy scratch for much of the back end of last season. Now, again, you get to camp, you make plays, you get those opportunities, you never know. But yeah, at this moment, I would definitely say so. No question. Wara Benger says, I really hope they let Jair loose. Dude can ball. I think there's something to that. I mean, you saw how he rose to the challenge against Justin Jefferson a couple years ago in Lambeau against the Vikings and how he really had a good game. And I know Vikings fans love to say, oh, he's got safety help. Yeah, you mean he played football? Thanks for the education, Vikings fans. But yeah, he played extremely well in that game. And I think he was playing extremely well at the end of last year after the suspension when he came back. He unfortunately was dealing with that ankle injury, you know, that got him out of the Cowboys game. But after one of the most important interceptions of his career set up, you know, the Packers offense to go up 14-0 in that game. That's what he's capable of. He is a game changing talent. He is a premier talent. They just need consistency from him more than anything else. Joe Mailman, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. DeBose, my pick for training camp surprise. He always could. He could definitely surprise. I mean, he missed almost the entirety of the last offseason program because of the back issue, and then really didn't have much of a chance once camp began because he missed so much of the start of it. But yeah, I mean, they liked him enough to draft him, and he's still with them. He's been in the program. Stranger things have happened. Now, I do think he's got some work to do, and he's got to make the most of every single opportunity, not just on offense, but especially on special teams. And if he can do that, then I'll have a shot. Oh, what's up, Jeff Smith? One word, Kingfish. I know you went to the gig last night. We missed you on happy hour, but I'm sure you had a great time, man. I'm so jealous you got to see him. I will be going to see him anytime I see that he's in the area. I mean, just absolutely awesome. Dale Norton, good afternoon from New Mexico. Good afternoon from New York City. I see you are visiting our fair land from London. I hope you enjoy New Mexico, and I hope all is well. M says, AJ Dillon is the breakout player of the season. All gas. It's going to be interesting to see how they utilize him early on, you know, because I do think we're going to see the same type of rotation we saw when Jones was in town. But I also think that Josh Jacobs is more durable and able to stay on the field longer. So do they, you know, go two or three series with Jacobs and then let Dillon get a series? Is it more piecemeal, like whenever Jacobs needs a rest? Like, are there packages designed for Dillon? I don't know, man, but he's like the one back in their stable now that really has been there, knows the offense, is kind of old hat, right? And you can count on him in every aspect when it comes to the running the offense. So I think he'll definitely get his opportunities. Larry says, Lambeau leap seats should be off limits to division rival fans and season tickets should be taken. That's a flag in the ground right there, Larry. I mean, I don't disagree, but this is America, man. Free market reigns. Brody, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Over under 35 touchdowns for Love, 8 sacks for Wyatt. Woo, baby. Okay, give me the under on the Wyatt sacks and give me the over on the Love touchdowns. How's that? There we go. What else we got here, folks? How or why did the Giants let Xavier McKinney walk? That is a very good question. I mean, other than that, they're not a well-run football program. I got not much for you. I know they're dealing with a lot of stuff when it comes to the salary cap. And even though he is a young ascending player, they had some other guys to pay and they have some other guys coming up. Young pass rushers are going to have to pay. So the safety position this offseason, really, you kind of saw it across the league, you know, took it on the chin as far as vets, even younger vets, getting out on the street, whether it's via free agency or getting cut. It's just a position that's been really devalued across the league. And the Packers are lucky in that regard because it kind of happened right when they desperately needed to remake their entire safety room. And they got the pick of the litter and probably the best safety that was available. I'll take it, man. I'll absolutely take it. Their loss, our gain, no doubt about it. He was their Micah Hyde, kind of. Brandy, I cannot hear the term Barry-esque one time this year before I lose it. The bad man can't hurt you anymore, Brandy. We have a whole new man who's here to see if he can hurt you. Please give him a chance. Please. What else we got? 04 Packers Rookie of the Year, Bullard. Oh, yeah, it's a possibility. It's a possibility, Matthew. I love his game, and I think he'll be the first one out of the gate, probably running alongside McKinney. if he can keep that gig. But I also think Evan Williams will get every opportunity to make a claim, as it were. So that's one of the camp battles that you'll definitely be kind of keeping up with day by day to see who's doing what and who's making the most of what's on offer. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.